Hey guys, welcome to Sunday Nights at Refuge, a community-focused Bible study that gathers weekly in our Common Ground Cafe. So grab a cup of coffee or tea and your Bible. By the way, you can connect with us on Instagram at Refuge Family. Now, our prayer is that Jesus would use this message to draw you closer to Him. So if you're ready, let's join tonight's study.
Give a warm welcome for Chase. He's going to be leading us in the Word.
Awesome. We should pray. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for this time to be able to gather. Father, thank you for the opportunity to just hear your word. Father, we pray that by your spirit, Lord, you would speak to us in a way that, Lord, shows us who you are. Lord, that would transform just the inner parts of our hearts. And I pray that it would help us to live lives that are full of worship. I pray tonight, Lord, as we would enter into this time, God, I pray for my own heart. Lord, I know that oftentimes, Lord, my own heart would fear people more than I do you. Father, I pray that that would be rearranged. And Father, I pray that, God, as we come before your word, Lord, we would know that, God, you have spoken. And in it, Lord, it's to transform us and to show us, again, just more of who you are. So, Father, would you please do that tonight? Would you fill me with your spirit, help me to be able to share in a way that just reveals you. And would you give us, by your spirit, Lord, the ability to understand your word, and Lord, would it penetrate the innermost parts of our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Hey, if you guys would turn with me to Psalm 95. As you guys are turning in there, I'm going to tell you guys a little story. So my brother and I, we were really into martial arts growing up. Anything with Bruce Lee, Jean-Claude Van Damme, Jackie Chan, Jet Li, that was pretty much our jam, right? And we actually did martial arts throughout our childhood. But one thing that we've seen in martial arts movies, but not so much in our classes, was the masters didn't really teach us how to do flips. And that was something that we really wanted to learn because we've seen that in the movies. So we would learn by actually throwing our bodies like on the bed, right? And then we would take that same mattress and we put it on the floor and then try it on there. And then after that, we would take the blankets from the mattress and then we would try it on there. And then we would take off a layer and then take off a layer and take off a layer until finally you were able to do it on the ground, right? But we would just do it over and over until we had it down. And I would say that for both of us, we probably spent countless hours doing and learning these different flips, especially the backflip. I was really, really stoked when I learned that one. And this is when I was like 11 or 12. But at that age, if you can do a backflip, that's like a highly coveted skill, right? It basically meant that you're instantly popular, right? So we would do them at family events. We would do them at like parties. We would do them at barbecues, martial arts demos, dances. Like you'd show up, not know anybody, and then you bust those out, and then everybody wants to be your friend. You're like, man, I'm the coolest guy here, right? But now as an adult 20 years later, that skill really isn't so useful anymore. No longer is that really important to be able to do the backflips. I've never put that on an application that I could do that. I've never put it in a resume that, hey, you know what, I could do this, right? I really don't place that much value on it anymore. It's kind of like being a cup stacking champ or being able to solve the Rubik's Cube, which is really, really hard, right? But it's cool, but not necessarily needed. And tonight we're gonna focus in on a little bit of a different skill that actually is very important and very needed. It's needed for any kind of relationship. It's needed for any kind of interpersonal communication. But it seems that we as a culture have treated it as something like cup stacking or being able to do backflips. And so you guys might be thinking, well, what is he talking about? And it has to do with the question that you were asked in the classroom when you had a blank stare, where you're like, the teacher would be like, all right, this. Or it has to do with when that family member or friend was talking to you and you had your mind and your eyes on your kids, right? Or maybe the words that someone says as you zone out on the TV or your telephone, right? Or the question the parent asks as he's giving a lecture because of the first time you crashed your car or whatever. What are those words? Those words are you listening? Are you listening, right? So tonight we're going to look a little bit at listening and why it's so important and how actually it's something that God desires from us. So not only is it important, but something that God actually desires from us. In order, like I said, to communicate or have any kind of relationship, you have to be able to listen. Yet, for a lot of us, it's kind of a skill that we could grow in. I know definitely for me, it's something that I can grow in. But to listen is basically to pay attention. It's to pay attention to a sound or to hear something and listen to it attentively. It's more than just hearing. It's more than just hearing this noise, but it's really tuning in to what's being said and trying to discern what you hear. And the act of listening intently actually shows that you care about what's being said, right? And you are showing the person speaking that they have value. So as you listen to someone speaking, you, by paying attention, are showing me value. So thank you guys right there, right? But in that, I actually went to a management training course like years and years ago. And because of this fact, they had us practice our listening skills together. So we would pair up with just the person next to us, and we would talk for a minute. And you basically just had to spend the whole entire minute listening. And it sounds really easy. It sounds like, man, that's simple. But when you're listening for just a minute and not able to say anything, you're like, oh man, this is really, really hard. Author theologian Dietrich Bonhoeffer once said, "The first service that one owes others in fellowship consists of listening to them. Just as love for God begins with listening to his word, so beginning of love for the brethren is learning to listen to them. It's God's love for us that he not only gives us his word, but he also lends us his ear." So tonight we're not only going to talk about the importance of listening, but specifically how we hear or listen when God speaks. Or our listening anywhere else is not as important when we hear than to when we hear him. So the question is for you, the question is for me, are we personally listening? I hope you guys aren't listening to that because I just said listening rather than listening. But my hope is by the end of tonight, God's Spirit will show us both the answer to that question personally and speak to our hearts as we hear God's word. So I'm going to pray once more, but actually you guys are going to take the time in this next minute just to pray that God would speak to you personally. And even ask him, Lord, am I listening? In the Psalms, David says, man, Lord, search me and know me. And so in this time, just take this minute and just pray to God, Lord, would you want to speak to me tonight? And at the end of this minute that we're going to take, I'm going to pray and we'll enter into our time in the word. Father, would you please reveal to each of our hearts, Lord, if we're listening in the way that you desire. God, please speak to us now through your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Psalm 95, starting in verse 1, says, "Oh, come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come into his presence with thanksgiving. For the Lord is a great God, a great King above all gods. In his hands are the depths of the earth. The heights of the mountains are also his. The sea is his, for he made it, and his hands formed the dry land. O come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. For he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand." So if you guys are just joining us tonight, a couple of weeks ago, Sunday nights, which is this study, started a series on the work and ministry of the Holy Spirit through select Psalms. Tonight, we're going to continue this theme as we go through Psalm 95. Psalm 95 is, just a little background, is a song that's meant to be sung by a community, the community of Israel. Some think it was written by King David, and some think that it was made actually to celebrate a festival that remembered God's salvation and his people in their wilderness wanderings. But the psalm starts out with some really profound words. It starts out with words about the greatness of God. For a lot of us, we say that word pretty flippantly. You know, we would say the word great, and we kind of think of it as a synonym with nice or kind or maybe even cool, dare I say, right? But we say, hey, this guy seems great, or hey, this girl seems great, or maybe we see it as something that carries a little bit more weight, like it's something special, right? For instance, man, this seems like a great opportunity. But the word great here is in the Hebrew actually carries a much greater definition. It means exceedingly large or important or distinguished or far more than others or far higher or mighty. And in this passage, we can see that God is all of that and that there's actually no one greater than him. So in verses 1 through 7, it shows us and just who's speaking and how important that is for us tonight. Because let's face it, depending on who we're listening to, there's kind of varying degrees of interest and attention, right? For the person that we're going to, that we look up to, or someone that we know that has a lot of just intellect in this area, we're going to listen to them very intently, right? For the person you're on the first date with, right? You're going to listen to them very intently. If they don't listen, that's kind of a red flag right there, so you should know. But for the person who is apologizing to you, you're listening very intently, right? That's because someone that holds high value with us, or we're interested in knowing what they have to say, we usually tune in to what they have to say. Sadly, the opposite is true as well. It seems that we're less inclined to listen well, or it's easier to get distracted when we're giving that person less value than they deserve, right? That's why it's so important for us as the church to be not only those who give people the time of day, but who really listen and care for people, right? That we believe that they've been created in God's image, so in that they have inherent value. So we're going to take the time to show that we care by listening. But for the text tonight, who are we listening to? Just in case you forgot, when we hear God's word, we are reminded that this, the God we're reading about, is the God who has spoken. There's no one more impressive, there's no one more interesting, and there's no one more powerful. Verse 3 says, "The Lord is a great God, a great king above all gods. In his hands are the depths of the earth. The heights of the mountains are also his." So verse 3 and 4 is reminding the listener that he being God, is the only true God. And it speaks about his power and his rule over creation, right? He's big enough and more and powerful enough to be able to hold the depths of the earth. He owns all the mountains. That's what it's telling us. And just to give you a glimpse of how big or how powerful God is, think about how powerful someone would have to be to be able to carry the depths of the earth in his hands, right? Do you have any idea how much the earth weighs? It's either in the septillions or the octillions. I was looking this up, and I got this number, and it had, like, numbers like I've never seen before. I'm like, I don't even know what this is, right? But think about, for me, I like going to the gym. I don't go as often as I did when I was younger, but there were times where for a few years, I felt like I was, I don't know, like, man, I'm getting pretty strong, right? And then so you're lifting, you're like, man, like, dude, check me out. Like, I'm doing this, right? And then someone would come in, this big guy would come in, and he would lift literally like 4 times more than I was lifting. And then at that, in comparison to him, I realized, and maybe I'm not as strong as I thought, right? And so in the same way, we're reminded, man, it doesn't matter how buff or how strong you are. When we go through these verses, it should bring us to a place where we realize we are, nor is anyone else, as powerful or as great or as big in comparison to God. Have you ever been to maybe Big Bear or Mammoth? Whenever I go to like Big Bear, I'm always amazed at the size of the mountains and like the majesty of it, right? But can you imagine the sheer power and majesty of the creator who made those mountains, right? Or behind a huge mountain like Mount Everest, right? It's almost 30,000 feet high. There's only like 4,500 people that have ever climbed it for like the last like 60, 70 years. But the God behind it, this is who it's speaking about. Pretty much all these verses are pointing out, man, God, this is God and how great he is. Not only does he have power over this area, but he has all the power over the sea. He has power over all dry land. He made it and he made it all for his glory. Romans 11:36 says, "For everything comes from him, exists by his power, as intended for his glory." And then in verse 1 and verse 7 explains that not only is he that big, not only is he that great, not only is he that mighty, but he's also gracious. He's also merciful. He also desires a relationship with us. He says that he cares for people as a good shepherd. It says that, man, when people are in need, he rescued them, that he took care of their needs, that he delivered them from their enemies. And the psalmist and the rest of scripture would point out that there's no one else like that. There's lots of counterfeits, but there's no other. I don't know if you guys remember when the yogurt market was big. Yogurtland, what's up? So Yogurtland, right? When it first came out, that and Pinkberry, there was huge competition. People were coming out with yogurt shops all over the place. And sometimes you'd be like, man, this is pretty good. Like, hey, this kind of has given some competition to Yogurtland, right? But when it comes to God, and any other, there is nothing close. There is no comparison. In fact, inside of 1 Kings 18, you see the story of when God met a counterfeit, right? You see the story of Elijah, right? And he is basically pairing up coming to a place where he's holding a contest between him and 450 prophets of Baal. And in it, man, these guys basically made this bet that they were saying, you know, if God is the real God, then worship him. If Baal is the real God, worship him. And so Elijah says, all right, you guys go first. You guys do your thing. And basically, if you guys, we're going to sacrifice. And if you guys can make, if your God basically takes the sacrifice, then we'll know that he's the real God. But if my God takes the sacrifice, then we're going to know that he's the real God. And so they go through this contest. And as they're going through this contest, man, these guys go first. And so there's 450 of them. They're cutting themselves. They're crying out loud. They're screaming. They're doing all these things. And nothing happens. And then Elijah prays, and he throws buckets of water over the fire. He throws, like, buckets and buckets and buckets, and he just drenches and shows the impossibility of what was going to happen. And we know later on in that story that, man, God takes that sacrifice, and he burns it up. And in light of these 450 prophets who are doing all these things, he's like, no, there is only one unique God, and that's the God of the Bible. But again, when we hear these things, it's meant to lead us to a place of worship. Worship in Scripture is basically, it's giving him all that we are, all that we have, in light of all that he is and all that he's done. That's really what it is. It's basically a paraphrase of what Romans 12 says. I'm saying, and because of this being who he is and what he's done, it makes sense for us to give all that we are because of what he's done for us. And whenever you see people bowing down genuinely in Scripture or giving thanks or doing sacrifices or singing praises or living for him, it's always in light of who he is. And the text is saying this is the correct response that we're to have when we realize who he is. But even after knowing this, that this is who we should be listening to, the question is are we? Or are we just hearing? Right? That's the question, because there might be a difference between just hearing and listening. So I would say that we all know that you can have someone who hears but isn't listening, right? Like the person who tries to prove that they're listening by repeating the last thing that you said. They're like, hey, what did I say? And they just repeat the last word, right? Let's be honest, this probably happened to all of us, right? If we were talking or someone was talking and we were watching a movie, or again, someone texts you at the same time and you're like, uh-huh, uh-huh. And then they're like, what did I say? And you're like, yeah. And then you just basically just say the last word. But you know that person is not really engaged. Or there's someone who's really fully engaged and wanting to know what's said. So if you pick back up in verse 7, it says, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. The word hear in the text we just read, it's not our English word for hear, which simply means to, or yeah, for hear, which simply means to perceive or to be told something. It's more like the word listen, right? But it actually takes that word listen and it goes even further. The NLT, in that same verse, renders it, if you would only listen to his voice. If you would only listen to his voice. What the psalm tells us is that God desires, when it comes to hearing, him is actually the word shema or shemai, right? Which means to hear or to listen in a way that eventually leads to obedience. So it's hearing and listening with the implication of taking that to heart and obeying. Meaning that we're not only to just hear about God, we're not only meant to just hear about what he's done or what we should do, but it's our duty when we hear him speak to respond. For some reason, maybe because we live in the information age, we can really get used to just gathering information, right? Or not do, but at the same time, kind of that information doesn't really have anything to do with us or our lives, right? We could find out about this actor or the height of this thing or whatever. But God's word isn't meant to be just information. As D.L. Moody once said, that the scriptures weren't just made for our information, but for our transformation. And God, by his spirit, uses his word to speak to us and to transform our hearts. In 2 Timothy 3, It says that God, by his Spirit, breathed life into his word by using those who wrote to write the very words of God. And Hebrews 4:12 tells us that his word that he has written exposes our innermost thoughts and desires. And the same God that has written his word is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Through his word, God has spoken. And through hearing his truth, his Spirit speaks into our hearts. John 16 says that God, through his Spirit, speaks to the hearts of people and convicts them of sin, righteousness, and judgment. In John 15, it tells us that the Spirit testifies of Jesus, meaning when we hear or read God's word, it's the Spirit that's proclaiming in our hearts our need for him, or our need for God's grace, or our need to surrender something. That's God's Spirit speaking to you personally. This means that for the person that doesn't yet know Jesus, it's God's Spirit who's given them the desire for Jesus and making the truth clear when the rest of life seems empty or broken. This means that it's God's Spirit testifying of the truth of who Jesus is and convicting our hearts and our lives that show us we need repentance or we need to just trust in Jesus. But yet for the believer, it's not over. Still, God by his Spirit speaks to us. When we read his word or when we listen to a Bible study, he shows us our need for grace. He shows us our need to surrender. And when God speaks in this way, we're not meant to just hear this. We're not meant to just leave and be like, oh, that was a really nice study. Okay, I'm going to go do my thing. But when we hear God speaking to us, it says in James that we're to obey. James 1 says, man, be not only hearers of the word, but be doers. If not, you're deceiving yourselves. You come and you look and you're looking at this mirror and you're saying, oh yeah, I look like this. And then you just do nothing about it. You're deceiving yourselves. And so in verse 8:11, there's a warning to not just hear God speak, but to, and not really listen. There's a warning to not really, not hear God speak and then not really listen. In verse 8, it says, do not harden your hearts as in Meribah and the days of Massah in the wilderness, when your fathers put me to the test and put me to the proof, though they had seen my work. So the people of who the psalmist is talking about had seen God work. They'd heard God say things, but they didn't obey. They heard God's voice, but yet they weren't listening. The problem with their hearing, the psalmist tells us, wasn't with their ears, but it was with their hearts. Verse 8 and 9 are basically alluding to events that happened with the Israelites as Moses was their leader. And it was during a time where Israel had seen some pretty extraordinary things that God did. In the book of Exodus, we see a guy named Moses. If you guys are a millennial or younger, maybe you've seen the Prince of Egypt. Prince of Egypt, yeah, there you go. If you're a Gen Xer or maybe a boomer, or maybe you guys have seen maybe the Ten Commandments with Charlton Heston, right? Chances are we've all heard of Moses, right? But basically, if I was to give a quick synopsis of his story, he was born an Israelite slave because of circumstances, right? And so his mom sends him down the Nile. He's found and he's raised by the daughter of the king of Egypt, which is pretty much the world power at that time. So Moses grows up living in a life of luxury, but he gives it all up. And he eventually becomes the instrument God uses to set his people free from 400 years of slavery. But in this deliverance, God displays his power. He displays his might to Egypt, right? From the plagues, and then he eventually parts the Red Sea, right? The people of Israel are delivered by the mighty power of God of Israel, right? But most of us know the story to this point, but it doesn't stop there. So God delivers them. He takes care of them. He does all these amazing things. And yet, it's not long before the people of God who just got delivered, who he was taking care of, who he provided for, cared for, and led, they just start rebelling. And they complain to God, even though they've seen all these things, they heard him say things, but they weren't listening. And there's different times and occasions that they refuse to obey what God told them. And that's basically what these verses are talking about. They refuse to go into the land that God had promised them. And so finally God says, okay, you have it your way. You have what you want. And that entire generation minus two guys missed out on what God had meant for them. The people didn't listen to God because they had hard hearts. We hear in verse 8 that this is the same reason why the people in Jesus' time didn't listen to him. In John 9, there's a story of Jesus making a person that was born blind able to see. And there were the religious leaders at that time, they weren't listening to what actually was going on. In fact, they hardened their hearts so much that they were almost blinded themselves to see what was really going on in front of them. And it wasn't because they didn't hear what Jesus says. It wasn't because they even didn't see. It's rather because their hearts were hardened. And we see in the Bible that it talks about those who have a hard heart. A lot of times the main contributing factors would be things like pride or unbelief or disobedience when we know that God is saying something. Verse 10 says, "For 40 years I loathed that generation and said, 'There are people who go astray in their heart, and they have not known my ways. Therefore I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest.'" And so the end of the Psalms basically talks about the consequence of the Israelites after hearing what God said, but yet refusing to obey. It tells us that they never reached the promised land. They never were able to go to the place where God meant for them. And I'm not saying that these people didn't go to heaven. I'm not saying that that God wasn't gracious to them in those 40 years. But I will say that they missed out on the life that God desired for them to have. That's for sure. And my question is how many of us are missing out on the life God desires for us? Because we've heard God speak, but yet aren't listening. As Jesus said inside John chapter 10, he said that he came not to destroy our lives, but rather to give life and give it that more abundantly. He's giving this different type of life, and in it, he wants to give us what's best. So the question that I hope is building in our hearts right now is, am I listening or am I just hearing? Am I a listener or am I a hearer? And to be honest, guys, I can't answer that question for you. But I do know in a conversation, you can always, and this actually happened today, but you can always tell when someone is listening by how they respond. Today I was, I work here at the church. I'm very blessed to be able to be here on the staff here. But I also work for Trader Joe's, and I've been there for 11 years. And had someone come in my line today, and I was just talking, just having conversation. And like as I'm asking questions, this person at the same time is not listening to any of my questions, but they're like talking at the same time. And they're like, "Oh yeah," like I'm like, "Hey, how's the day?" And they're like, "Hey, this isn't working," or "Hey, do this." And you're like, "Man, you didn't even hear anything I just said, right?" But you can tell that, man, from their response, they're not listening. But are we? So how we respond shows how we're listening. When God speaks to our hearts, how do we personally respond? When God speaks, know that there is always a call to respond. And we've seen the consequences to not listening. For the non-believer, guys, we know, man, the consequences are not good. If God is pricking at your heart tonight and saying, "Man, come to me. You're in need of my grace. I love you. I've died for you. I've made a way of salvation so you can have a restored relationship with me." Don't push that off. The Bible would say today is the day of salvation. When God speaks to the believer, are we missing out on the life that God intended for us? He's saying, "Man, surrender this thing," or, "Hey, let go of this," or, "Trust me here." Are we holding on to what he said, or are we pushing away and saying, "Man, I don't need this right now. Why don't you do that to someone else?" Or are we saying, "God, man, I trust that you are who you say you are. And in it, man, I want to give my life back because I believe that this is an act of worship. And in it, you are worth it." For the believer, do not miss out on the life God intended for you. Because I can guarantee you guys that if we continue to hear but not do, you are currently missing out on all that God has for you. Know that Jesus loves you, and he loves you that much, man, that he would die for you, right? But at the same time, he is a gentleman, and he's not going to press himself on the point where you're not responding, where he's just like, "Do this or do this," but he's already given it to us right here. And our call is to respond back to that love. We love simply because he first loved us. And so in it, the question of tonight, like I said, is how are we personally listening? When we come to God's word, how are we personally listening? I pray that, man, it is those that hear and that do, man, and worship because of what Jesus has done and who he is. Father, we thank you so much for the time, God, in your word. Lord, we thank you that, God, you've revealed yourself in your word because you love us. God, we thank you that you've provided a way of salvation because you love us. And yet, God, we see that there's also the ability to not take advantage of those things, Lord, but to push those things aside and think that we know better. Lord, if tonight, Lord, we have a hard heart, or if we are those that are just hearers, Father, would you please speak into us? God, would you please soften those areas, Lord? You say that, Lord, you take our stony hearts and you give a heart of flesh. God, we pray that for those who just are in need of that tonight. God, maybe it's tonight, Lord, that we're just like, man, we are holding on to all these things we've heard, but Father, we don't want to surrender. Father, I pray that tonight would be that night for those who you're speaking to. And Father, may we all as a people be those whose lives are congruent with the things that we say. Lord, be those whose lives are congruent with what we see in your word. Lord, not thinking that we are the authority of all things, but rather seeing you as the authority of greater, because you're greater, you're higher, and you're just that good and loving that we surrender to you. Father, would you please do more of that in our hearts, even just as we would just spend this time in worship. God, we thank you for just revealing yourself. And Father, change the way that we come and hear your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
This has been a presentation of Refuge Calvary Chapel Huntington Beach. For more information about our ministry, please visit refugefamily.com or call 714-891-9495.
Set free my heart, set free my soul. I don't wanna be a prisoner no more. Unlock the door that holds me in. This is the day that life begins. Set free my heart, set free my soul. I don't want to be a prisoner no more.
No more.
Unlock the door that holds. This is the day that life